Today is Saturday, August 8th. Good afternoon for WRCO News. I'm Caitlin O'Connell. WRCO's Walk with Grace auction wrapped up yesterday and was a huge success. The five-day auction raised a total of $32,916 for the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, shattering last year's total of $26,730 by over $6,000. Thank you to all who bid, donated items, and money. It was greatly appreciated. The Walk with Grace ceremony will be held this coming Friday in Crosscut Park. Authorities are investigating a tragic workplace accident that occurred on Friday morning, resulting in the death of a construction worker. The Grant County Sheriff's Office report received a 911 call at approximately 8:10 Friday morning regarding an incident on County Road Q where a worker had fallen while performing repairs on a farm building. According to preliminary reports, a construction crew was actively working on the roof of the structure when one member, a 44-year-old man, fell through the roofing material. The individual plunged approximately 30 feet before striking the concrete floor below. Although co-workers and responding emergency personnel from Highland EMS and the Wisconsin State Patrol provided immediate medical assistance and life-saving measures, the victim was pronounced deceased at the scene by the Grant County Coroner's Office. The identity of the deceased is currently being withheld pending the notification of next of kin. A comprehensive investigation is now underway, led by the Grant County Sheriff's Office in coordination with the U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the Grant County Coroner's Office. Multiple agencies, including the Iowa County Sheriff's Office and the Darlington Police Department, assisted at the scene. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers announced on Friday that Wisconsin is filing an appeal to ensure affected communities receive the federal disaster aid they need to rebuild and recover after the severe storms and flooding caused significant damage to public infrastructure back in April. Nine Wisconsin counties received public assistance, including Iowa, Jefferson, Juneau, Rock, and Vernon counties. However, five other Wisconsin counties, including Sauk County, were denied federal assistance. In response to the denials, Governor Evers directed the Wisconsin Emergency Management to gather additional information and assessments to file an appeal. While four of the five denied counties determined they did not require additional public assistance at this time, the needs in one county remained. The governor's appeal comes as earlier this summer, Governor Evers slammed the Trump administration for playing politics with federal disaster aid by denying Wisconsin's application for FEMA public assistance for the five Wisconsin counties and hazard mitigation statewide after the April 13th through the 23rd severe storms and flooding caused millions of dollars in damages to homes, businesses, and public infrastructure throughout the state. The governor's appeal also comes as President Trump and the Trump administration have repeatedly come under fire for slashing funding for emergency preparedness and response at FEMA, while also prioritizing Republican-run states to receive disaster relief. Recent reporting indicates that it is three times harder for Democratic-led states to get disaster funding under the administration than Republican-led states, with the administration rejecting disaster aid for Democratic-led states at the highest rate in the history of FEMA. The governor's latest appeal for federal support for Wisconsin comes as the Trump administration failed to justify its denial of federal public assistance to help communities respond to and recover from similar severe weather and flooding that occurred across the state in 2025, causing over $27 million in damages to roads, public buildings, utilities, and community infrastructure. The USDA reports for the week of August 2nd, Wisconsin experienced 5.7 days suitable for field work. While southern and eastern regions received much-needed rainfall, dry conditions persisted in the northwestern areas. Topsoil moisture conditions were rated 9% very short, 21% short, 68% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture conditions were similar with 7% very short, 20% short, 70% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn progress was steady with 72% silking, which is on par with the five-year average, and 16% reaching the dough stage. Corn condition remains strong with 72% rated at good to excellent. Soybean development was slightly ahead of schedule with 86% blooming compared to the 81% average and 53% setting pods. The soybean crop maintained a 70% good to excellent condition rating. Oats were 93% coloring, outpacing the 90% average, and 41% had been harvested. The overall condition of oats was rated 77% good to excellent. Winter wheat harvesting reached 69% completion, matching the 5-year average. Hay production continued with the third cutting of alfalfa reaching 50% completion, ahead of the 47% average. The condition of all hay was rated 70% good to excellent, while pasture and range condition was rated 54% good to excellent. A new policy proposal from the Department of Health and Human Services has sparked significant concern among early childhood advocates in Wisconsin, who warn that the rule could effectively dismantle the Head Start program. Published on Friday, the federal regulation aims to simplify requirements and reduce administrative burdens, but local leaders like Jenny Maurer of the Wisconsin Head Start Association argue the changes would roll back essential standards for teacher qualifications, classroom staffing ratios, and family support services. Maurer contends that these rollbacks would undermine the quality of care and jeopardize the future of funding for a program that currently serves over 12,000 Wisconsin families. The potential impact in particular is particularly acute in rural Wisconsin, where nearly 70% of children already reside in childcare deserts. In many of these communities, Head Start remains the sole licensed provider of early childhood education. Maurer fears that the proposed rule represents a dangerous progression toward losing these vital services entirely in rural areas. Furthermore, the regulation introduces a rigid language requirement that would mandate all education be conducted in English. Advocates point out that this is highly impractical for regions like Western Wisconsin, where many classrooms consist of Spanish-speaking 3-year-olds who require native language support to effectively transition to English literacy. While federal officials maintain that the changes are necessary for cost reduction and accountability, critics to the program point to past reports highlighting high costs and inconsistent long-term results as justification for reform. Maurer acknowledges that while improvements can always be made, the current proposal threatens the very elements that made Head Start successful. As the program continues to grapple with funding delays and regional closures, the next 60 days will be a critical window for community members to participate in the public comment period and voice their perspectives on the future of the program for the Head Start program. Now that August is underway, that means a new school year will be arriving soon. The Richland School District will be holding an upcoming event to help students prepare for the school year. Dr. Johnson is Director of Curriculum at the Richland School District.
This coming Tuesday, August 11th, is when we have super registration. So it's a time when families can join us at the high school. All students and their families can come, and they would come there to make sure that they have all of their paperwork finished for the school year, just to know that they're enrolling. And that information is coming out soon. They should receive some communication soon on how to do that, because they can do that part virtually if they want, if they've been a student of ours previously. If they're a new student, they for sure should join us at this time, because they can get enrolled on this date also.
While attending super registration, if you need assistance, there will be plenty of help available.
We will have people there helping with online registration. We'll have people helping with paper registration. We'll have people there helping with logins. If families are like, oh, I don't want to do this because I'm not a login, we have people there for that. We have people there who can speak Spanish. We have people there who will help with fees.
There will be representatives of organizations and groups available to answer any questions about transportation, extracurricular activities, sports, and more. You can also get your class picture taken at the event. Along with registering and getting questions answered, there will be other activities at Super Registration.
There's going to be food trucks that are going to be out there that you can come and get ice cream or food. You can check out the building, not a full building tour, but you can at least see, you know, the commons, and you can see the gym. If you're new to the area, it's always, I'm impressed by our facilities, and I think it's always great for people to come out and see our maintenance staff. They've just done this amazing job with all that's happening. They're still rocking it when it comes to making sure our facilities look so new.
Super registration for the Richland School District will get underway Tuesday morning starting at 8 o'clock at the Richland Center High School. You can find out more information on the Richland School District website or by calling the district office at 608-647-6106. A benefit for Jolie Newkirk will be held tomorrow from 3 until 8 o'clock at the Buena Vista Bicentennial Park in Gotham. There will be a car cruise, a silent auction, and a bucket raffle, along with other raffles. There will also be a barbecue chicken dinner at 5 o'clock. All proceeds will go to Jolie Newkirk. If you'd like to donate, you can contact Jessica at 608-604-1396 or Lori at 608-485-1272.